from PRX.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, and friends beyond the binary. Friends beyond the binary, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls. It's time for the podcaster who believes in false starts and then starting again. But he's not sure exactly what he means, but he was thinking about it because then false start makes me think of another start word that starts with an F. And oh boy, is that a tangent I could go on soon. What am I talking about? Where am I going? Well, it's a time for Sleep With Me, the podcast that puts you to sleep. Hey, everybody, Sleep With Me is here to treat you with empathy and compassion, to create a port in a storm, a safe place, a port, you know, just a port in general. You say, nah, it's not really stormy out there. I just need a little, what do they call those things? A harbor, but there's something more picture, a cove. Oh, but there's a Sleep podcast already called it. So it's a nice place where you could just drift away. And to me, that means providing resources. So there's resources to organizations you could connect with right now if you're having a tough time, right now. Helplines, text lines, and it means supporting the members of our community through my actions. And then if you want to be a part of change, if you want to say Black Lives Matter with your actions, there's links to organizations where you could get started. Or if you've been impacted by racism, those links are in the show notes and there for you as a resource. And that is, and then these are the sponsors that enable me to be here twice a week for you. If you're ever curious about them, tomorrow when your hand hits that refrigerator and opens the door, go to sleepwithmepodcast.com/sponsors. Thanks. All right, but this is Scoots here. This is where I ask you to, hey, if you think about signing up for Sleep With Me Plus at sleepwithmepodcast.com/plus, with just a few questions. If you're new to the show, just ignore this message. Or if you only listen to Sleep With Me occasionally, or it could be easily replaced by another show, not important. Do you listen to Sleep With Me regularly? Yes. But yeah, does it improve your life in any way at all? And would you miss Sleep With Me if we stopped making it? Like, how much would you be willing to give on an annual basis or a monthly basis to say, hey, go ahead and start that podcast back up? So this is a way of not doing that. I'm asking if the answer to those questions are yes. Yeah, you're a regular listener. Yes, Sleep With Me improves your life. Yes, I could and would pay for the show. If it was missing from my life, I'd pay to get it back. Or if you lost it, you'd say, oh, where has my Sleep With Me podcast gone? Could you help me find it? And this is a reward, whatever, $120. I need my year of Sleep With Me back. Or you would find a way to support the show if you said, well, now I got to put up a poster. If the answers are yes, we're kind of in that place right now, and the whole podcasting industry is in that place more or less, where it's like, hey, I really need you to think about supporting the show right now. If the answer is yes to those questions. So we don't have to go through, oh, where has my Sleep With Me podcast gone? Because I don't want that. I love making the show. It does take a team of people to make the show. So think about it. sleepwithmepodcast.com/plus. If you get a lot out of the show and you'd miss it and you'd say, oh, where has my Sleep With Me podcast gone? Sign up for sleepwithmepodcast.com/plus. And I'll thank you. Believe me, I'll send you a video and say thanks. Thanks so much. All right, everybody, it's time for the Sleepy Supporter Zone, the one part of the podcast I need you to hear. It's where I pop my peas, if you please, and I thank the listeners who supported the sponsors and then let the sponsors know about it. That's how I'm able to be here for a free choice a week. I want to thank May and Casey, who both placed orders with Apollo. And if you want to see a video of me using my Apollo band, you can check it out on our sponsor website. It was at different times of the day I use it, where I wear it. It's an amazing device. And then I want to thank Belinda, who signed up with Daily Harvest, and Megan, who referred 8 people to the podcast through our referral site at sleepwithmepodcast.com/refer. So if you support a sponsor, tag them, tag me in a social media post if you want to be like May, Casey, Belinda, or Megan. And I could try to thank you here on the Sleepy Supporter Zone. The next part of Sleepy Supporter Zone is you getting the support you need. There's links to organizations you can connect connect with right now in our show notes. And it's being a part of change. It's saying Black Lives Matter with our actions. There's links to organizations you can connect with to get you started right in our show notes. And the third part of the Sleepy Supporter Zone is something I support. This is a little bit different. It's something I'm in progress, but I want to encourage you to support a local organization or something that's, you know, you're close to that helps other people. Right now, trying to get something going with an organization that is supporting local restaurants and feeding people that are hungry. But there's local organizations you can connect with out there. And then, you know, tag me, tag the organization on social media, and let's boost the volume there as well. And that is the end of the Sleepy Supporter Zone, which is now over. Oh, Mystery Bart, a lot of people help out on that this show. Who are they?
This posty poster song sounds like a near fall. Wrote the theme song. Edits episodes too. Carl W. the Legend. Also edits episodes. Kenny, Scotty, Jennifer, and Ashley. Runner, 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 runner. Eric and the team at Astound are on the website. I am the Mystery Bart. I do the lullabies, yeah. I do commissions at JonathanMann.net. I'll write a song for you. It's almost Christmas, y'all. You can tell me the story and personal. You see the kindness shine straight on through when the listeners form their own Facebook group. Keith, Stacy, Sarah, Julie, and Jennifer. These are your moderators. Get support, dear Scooter, on Patreon. Buy the merch and support the sponsors. You can find anything you want at sleepwithmepodcast.com. And we're so proud that we could dance. Raising money for the Water Wheel Foundation, and Scooter might get a perm.
Thanks, Mystery Bard. I'm at Dearest Scooter on Twitter and Instagram. That's where you could find me. What do you say we slow it down and get on with the show? Hey, are you up all night tossing, turning, mind racing, trouble getting to sleep, trouble staying asleep? Well, welcome. This is Sleep With Me, the podcast that puts you to sleep. We do it as a bedtime story. All you need to do is get in bed, turn out the lights, and press play. I'm going to do the rest. What I'm going to attempt to do is create a safe place where you could set aside whatever is keeping you awake. It could be thoughts, you know, things you're thinking about, things on your mind. I don't know, my mind just went blank as soon as I said things on your mind. It could be that, though, you see. That happens to me a lot. I say, why can't I remember that? And then I try to remember it, and it's like trying to find something in one of my, you know, my closet or a pile. Or, you know, when I put stuff down. And I say, what happened to that letter that I needed to open? That I needed to think about opening? You heard that tangent a few months ago. Anyway, whether it's thoughts you're thinking about, that could be from past, present, or future. Feelings that come up related to those thoughts, obviously I've had a few. But it could just be feelings that are there, sensations or physical, you know, anything physical going on with you. Schedule changes. I talked to Gavin yesterday, and a lot of times Gavin's got to go to sleep at noon. And I hear from a lot of listeners that have to go to sleep at those times of day. It's not easy, especially when it's irregular, right? Could be some other thing, or it could be something you just don't know. Whatever is keeping you awake, I'd like to take your mind off of that and keep you company while you drift off. And what I'm going, or what I propose to do, and what you could see if you're willing to come along, is I'm going to send my voice across the deep, dark night. I'm going to use lulling, soothing, creaky, dulcet tones. Oh, so creaky are my dulcet tones. Pointless meanders. Superfluous tangents. So I'm going to go off topic. I'm going to get mixed up. And all that stuff. All to keep you company while you fall asleep. So, I don't know. My mind just went blank again. I guess I kind of said. So here's a couple of things if you're new that you would want to know, or you might want to know. This podcast does not work for everybody, so just give it a few tries. And that's not coming from me. That's coming from hundreds of thousands of people that said, hey, it took, believe it or not, hundreds of thousands of people have told me, took two or three tries to get used to you. And I said, yeah, that sounds about right. Because, of course, if you're somebody told you about this podcast, you say, well, it's supposed to put me to sleep. What do you mean? Not sure about this guy's voice. And he doesn't seem to, this content seems to be, he plays loose and fast with his content. And I say, you're correct about that. So just see how it goes. So that's one thing. If you're skeptical, doubtful, or unsure, that's a normal response to the show. But I hope it can put you to sleep, or at least to keep you company while you fall asleep. This is also a podcast you don't really listen to. You just kind of barely pay attention to it. I barely engage you. And I can't give you something to kind of listen to while you drift off. You say, oh, okay, I can listen to this, and it takes me, ideally, I barely distract you from whatever's keeping you awake. And then, the other thing is, not only is this a podcast you don't really listen to, it's also a sleep podcast that doesn't put you to sleep. This is strange. But I'm here to keep you company as you drift off. So I'm really just here to be your bedtime bore teller. First time I made that word up, maybe. But I, really just to keep you company as you drift off. That's why the shows are over an hour, so you have plenty of time. And if you can't sleep, I'm going to be here to the very end. So I'm here just as much to keep you company. I'm here to keep you company, whether you're awake or asleep, and whether you're listening or not. So really, hopefully you don't feel any pressure. No pressure to listen, no pressure to fall asleep. I'm going to be here for about an hour. I used to say that all the time. I don't know what part of the podcast I used to say that in. And maybe I already see Scooch, you say that right. Okay, yeah, I said it right at the beginning. I don't remember. Okay, so those are a couple things. The other thing that throws people off, podcast listeners in particular, is the structure of the show. And the show's structured very deliberately, but also it's very malleable. So I'll tell you the normal structure and then how people use the show in different ways. So the show starts off with a greeting, so you feel welcome. Then it has resources for listeners and sponsors. That's how it's able to be here twice a week for free. Then there's an intro. And the intro goes from like a minute 6 or 8 to minute like 20-something. And that can really throw people off because you say, well, the intro is like 1/3 of the podcast. And I'd say, well, 20, 40, 60. Yeah, about 1/3 of the podcast. You're right. And but the intro kind of serves two purposes. One, it introduces new listeners to the show. So I can tell you all this stuff. So you say, oh, okay, I was skeptical and doubtful. And now I still am, but at least I know what to expect. And I'm kind of getting relaxed here. So that's one purpose the intro serves, to introduce the show in a long-winded, meandering way. With kindness, because it's really my job to earn your trust. You don't really owe me anything. Like, even listening 2 or 3 times, I just can ask it because, I hope I can put you to sleep. So, yeah, it's my job to build some rapport. So that's part of the intro, too. But for regular listeners, what up, my regular listeners, and all the pets, fishes, and other pets out there, mammalian pets. And, warm-blooded or cold-blooded, I got a warm spot in my heart for you, as long as you're keeping a distance, cold-blooded beings. I can share my warmth metaphorically with you, but that's it. Sorry, that was a tangent. But so the regular listeners, the podcast, the intro serves as part of their wind-down routine. So you can listen as you're getting ready for bed or as you're in bed drifting off or as you're doing something else relaxing, even if it's just sitting around. I mean, that's pretty relaxing. I barely have the ability to do that, just lie around. But when I do, I say, wow, I should do this more often. Just lie on the floor. You know, when you lie on the floor and look at the room upside down, like I say, this is great. Why don't I do this every day? I say, well, because I, as Popeye once said, I am who I am, and it's not like a, so the intro, what was I saying? Oh, so it just gives you some distance from the day and eases you into bedtime, because for most of us, We've tried other sleep solutions, right? And those are supposed to work right away. They're not as sustainable or realistic. And even Sleep With Me, it's only sustainable and realistic for the people it kind of fits like a puzzle piece with. So that's how the intro works. But some people skip the intro. They start the show at 20 minutes, about 3% of listeners. Then a few thousand people listen to story-only versions on our Patreon. And then some people listen all night, even though the podcast isn't really designed to be listened to all night. That's an option, too. And then some people start the podcast when they wake up in the middle of the night or whatever. And other people listen during the day. So it's kind of like you see, like first start off listening to the intro and then kind of see how it goes for you is the only advice I can give is see what works for you. Then there's business between the intro and the show. That's just how podcast structure works. It's called the mid-roll, even though it's not in the middle of the show. And those are the sponsors that, you know, again, able to be here for you. Then there's a story. Tonight it'll be a crossover tribute episode to Orbiting Human Circus of the Air, a brilliant and amazing podcast that I love so, so much. And I hope you discover it. And if you're still like using your phone right now, or you have a pen or paper, write down to subscribe or use the link in our show notes tomorrow to check out that show. It's going to change. It'll make your daytime almost as good as your bedtime, maybe even better. So that this, it'll be a meandering version of the season 2 premiere. So that's a story. It will be a bedtime story woven out of another podcast. Then there's thank yous at the end of the show. So that's the structure of the show. And the reason I make the show, I guess it's threefold. I usually say it's twofold, but tonight I was thinking it's threefold. It's like you deserve a good night's sleep. That's the main reason I make the show. You deserve a place where you can rest, get the rest you need, and ideally, you know, live your life and have it more manageable or even be in a place where you could flourish. So that's one reason. The other reason, the reason too, is I've been there at night, tossing, turning, mind racing, trouble getting to sleep, trouble staying asleep, all those things. So I know how it feels. I know the deep, dark desperation in the deep, dark night very well. And if I can offer any kind of salve or balm or distraction from that, some reassurance that you're not alone, that is like the greatest honor I could ever have in my life, really. I mean, besides being the parent of the coolest daughter in the world, but so that's why I make the show. And the third thing is, I guess it's the daytime, right? The daytime kind of sticks around at nighttime. And I was thinking of that false start. And then I was thinking of the word false fart. I'll be honest. So you can go ahead and bore giggle. For some reason that word makes most people giggle no matter what. But I was thinking about it when I said it. I was like, well, false farts are a thing that can keep me up at night. And I'm sure a lot of people have experienced the old false fart. There's probably another term for it, but I don't know why people don't just say, sorry, that like in a meeting or a conference or Zoom nowadays, you say, no, that was a false fart. Just wanted to let everybody know that was my chair or that was my elbow on the, whatever this linoleum is, instead of, like, for me, if I do a false fart, then I say, oh boy, everybody's going to think it. Everybody's looking at me. Or poor Mildred. They're thinking Mildred did it. I hope, and I don't hope. I feel bad and I feel good that everybody's looking at Mildred. Maybe I should make another false fart. You know, don't you always have that one? That's usually how I do it. It's like, okay, let me wait a little while. Then I'll see if I can recreate the sound multiple times in a row so that people know it's not real, right? One time that happened in high school, and the teacher stopped teaching the class because he still didn't realize that it was I was covering up my false fart with more false farts so that I would delineate that it was my shoe. This time it was the tip of, I think I must have had a new pair of boots or something. And if it's the tip of your boot, like you scrape it on a like a linoleum floor. And they stopped the whole class and they said, do you need to go to the, do you need like, and I said, no, no, it's my, it wasn't actually embarrassing because it was so over the top. And the teacher was laughing, but not like it was one of those moments of relief. Like it was so obvious that it wasn't, even there was no negative feelings involved. And it was also funny because the teacher was just in hysterics and the whole class was. Like, kind of like you just say, like, maybe they thought, wow, this kid has such self-esteem. He's just going, he's just letting his body take its natural course, which is, of course, they did. I say, well, you don't really know me, obviously. But then I said, no, no, it's my shoe. And then I made the sound a couple more times. Sorry about that. I didn't even know about it. Wasn't trying to be, and it also wasn't a, like, from a teacher's perspective, you could think you were doing it to be disruptive. Which at the time, I guess I was saying, well, I could have said, well, this is accidentally disruptive because of my first disruption. I didn't want you to think that was an actual eruption. It was just an unintentional disruption. So now I'm being disruptive to make it clear. You know what I'm saying? And that's the kind of stuff that can keep some of us up at night. I mean, right? You say, oh, man, I wonder what people are thinking from that meeting. Like I was there to pitch, you know, the newest... you know, that my idea about Boo Berry's cousin and Count Chocula, you know, that was, best friends with Count Chocula. And, you know, I made that false fart. But I think they think it was real. But I guess, when you think about it on the reverse side, you really don't hold it against people. I don't think. I don't know. Maybe do I? Don, that's going to get you. Are you the kind of person that holds false farts against people, Scooter? Well, and that's what's going to be going through my head tonight. But I think one thing that you're listening, if you get over these bore giggles, is that this kind of unites us, right? We've all been through that. And sometimes we've been through it on the real. You say, well, that was not false. It was unplanned for sure. So we've been there and we've also all been there in the deep, dark night. So I'm glad you're here. Please give the show a few tries just to see if it can help you because you deserve a good night's sleep. I'm glad you're here. I yearn and I strive to make the best possible show I can. And I really hope I can help you fall asleep. Thanks again for coming by. All right, everybody. I want to thank Claritin, tonight's sponsor, for supporting this episode and provide me with some samples. You know, I suffer from seasonal allergies. Not only do they get in the way of me living my life, they get in the way of me making this podcast to put you to sleep. Because when those allergies are really kicking in, I sound weird and I do not feel good at all. Luckily, for those of us who live with the symptoms of allergies, we can live Claritin Clear with Claritin D. The double action combination of prescription strength allergy medicine and the best decongestant available relieves sneezing, a runny nose, itchy and watery eyes, an itchy nose and throat, and sinus congestion and pressure with ease. And that's what I like about Claritin D. It covers all those bases. For me, I love the relief from the runny nose and the sinus pressure. Holy cow. Those two things combined, I'm like the worst two symptoms I have at the exact same time. So I love the relief Claritin brings. And I've been taking Claritin D this spring for this allergy season. And it's been a game changer because I can go out on my runs and on my trail runs and not have to worry about, am I going to be able to record the podcast tomorrow because my nose is running and my sinuses are clogged? Ready to live life as if you don't have allergies? It's time to live Claritin Clear. Fast and powerful relief is just a quick trip away. Find Claritin D at the pharmacy counter. Ask for Claritin D at your local pharmacy counter. You don't even need a prescription. Go to Claritin.com right now for a discount so you can live Claritin Clear. Use as directed. Thanks, everybody. Sleep With Me is brought to you by Progressive, where customers who save by switching their home and car save nearly $800 on average. Quote at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $793 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2021 and May 2022. Potential savings will vary. All right, everybody, this is something I'm very excited to present to you tonight. It's another tribute crossover episode of an amazing, amazing podcast, The Orbiting Human Circus of the Air. If it's the first time hearing of The Orbiting Human Circus, open up your podcast app of choice and type it in and subscribe. I'm going to be doing season 2, episode 1, Naughty Till New Year's, Firstly the Janitor. And I highly suggest you have a lot of options. So you could start with season 2 and listen to season 2. You could binge season 1. There's also the extended edition of season 1. I mean, if I was saying, you know, what's your best bet? I would listen to season 1, the original version. Then I would listen to season 2. Well, maybe I would listen to this episode. Then season 2, episode 1. If you're really, like, really excited, but then listen to all of season 1, all of season 2, then the extended edition of season 1, so you could hear all the behind the scenes. I don't want to reveal too much about the show, because I think you should really discover it for yourself, but it's made by Julian Koster, and Julian and Christy Gressman came to my first live show I ever did at the first PodCon. And both have been really encouraging throughout the history of Sleep With Me and very supportive. And like, I just remember listening to this show. It really is joyful and it's exciting. It's visionary. It's dreamy. It's super cool. But it's really fun. And so I just highly recommend discovering it for yourself. That's why I'm doing this episode. And so without further, and I'm really saying, well, this is going to be interesting. This is because it's a very, very, this, I guess, will be a sleepy version of it. I say, well, what's this going to be like? I don't know. I haven't recorded it yet. So without further ado, I'd like to present The Orbiting Human Circus of the Air, Season 2, Episode 1, Naughty Till New Year's, Firstly, The Janitor. And as you start to relax, your mind starts to journey all the way out to some farmland where just on a rise sits a barn. Right on the top of that hill, you could see it there. There's the barn and the silo. And you can hear those barnyard sounds. And then also you hear the sound of, this is a dual narration within a narration, as another narrator comes in and takes the narration over from even me and says, in a barn deep in the country, as night falls upon the earth, the animals turn their expectant gaze towards a small radio mounted on the wall. And what animals? You may say, well, there's the cows, there's the sheep, there's the chickens and the hens and the roosters, there's some bunnies, there's even some local M-O-U-S-E mouse poos. There's some ducks and some ducklings. I don't know if they're actually farm animals, but they live on the farm. There's a kitty, peace-loving kitty cat, so well-behaved. And, you know, what other farm animals? Oh, of course, those farm animals are there too. And you can just hear the radio. It's crackling. In that joyous radio, you could feel it in your chest. It's playing this wonderful and strange exercise broadcast. You know, let's get it. Come on, let's pump it now. Get those knees up. There's brass music behind the exercise. You could just see someone about 1917 one of those 1917 working out radio shows, pumping and lifting and stretching your sides. And just past the barn is a farmhouse, and inside that farmhouse, it's still school time, but it's the end of that school day. Narrator. And in the farmhouse, children rush till their homework is done. And why don't we work together here and become, why don't we take two narrators and make them one? Sounds good to me. There's writing on the paper. There's text pages turning. The children are trying to get done. And the farm boy, well, this is going to be the best show ever, isn't it? Can't wait. And I'm your sister. Hurry. We got to get our homework done. Oh, I'm done. I'm going to be done in a second. I just have to shuffle some more papers. I have to erase this one part of the equation. Come on, let's pull our chairs out. Let's get that radio on. Can you turn the radio on, please? I'm done too, brother. Are you putting it on? Yes, sister, I am. I'm tuning it. Oh, it's still the exercise broadcast. Must just be finishing up. He's doing his cool down stretching. Now, somewhere else, not far away from the farm, but not too close either. There's the sounds of a street. There's cars going by. There's people talking, and college students hurry home from their evening out. Some alone, some in pairs, holding hands and glancing at the clock as they hasten their pace. And everywhere, there's hands on dials, tuning that radio. That sound of the radio dial tuning, searching for something in particular, searching with anticipation. It's a colorful, rhythmic sound of fuzz and different genres of music. Elsewhere, we hear buttons being pressed and dials being turned. Maybe even a crank or two. Oh, those radio sounds layered upon layer, window upon window, room upon room. Because you see, all of these radios, we are moments away from the appearance of a very special new star, whose capturing of the public imagination can be likened to nothing since perhaps a group of Beatles went on the Ed Sullivan Show. Life has stopped. And as all goes silent, people realize they will someday ask each other where they were at this moment. The sounds of the city play against the shuffling of the radio dials, and a woman says, "Hey, bub, you gonna listen?" "Yep, we got a radio in back, ma'am. Bunch of us are gonna be listening back in between our shifts. Short order cooks right about here, right about now. I gotta flip these eggs and get back there." Such a nice image, isn't it? And even backstage at the Grand Theater from which the broadcast will come, the crew glances around, hoping to catch a glimpse of the star. And chief stagehand Letitia Seltier, running the whole show, can't help but be swept up in the excitement as she gathers her crew around her. "Hello, Bernard. Hey, you can't watch here forever." "No, because they're going to exit this way. I'm going to talk to everyone in 5 minutes, okay? By the loading dock." "My job. Hey, I'm going to talk to everyone. I know, but you could come back. You could come back. Yep, yeah, come on. I've got to talk to everyone right now. I mean, in 5 minutes." That's right. In 5 minutes that passed almost instantly, we're getting close to that loading dock as we hear people cheering, squealing, anticipation, the chattering of people waiting in line who can't wait to get inside the theater. "Okay, everyone, come close, come close, come, no, come, come a little closer, just a little, no, no, even closer, a little bit closer still. I know you're worried about getting too close, but don't worry. Not tonight. Okay, stagehands, this is it, huh? We waited a long time for this, and it's here now. And, you know, I know I've been a little bit tough on you, but you deserve it. Ah, stagehands, you know, we're stagehands. What can we say? Bantering with the other stagehands here. Ah, you do truly. I want you to know that I'm proud to work with you, and I'm proud of the work that we do here. You're the best crew that I know. If I could choose a group of people to go into like on a reality show with a lot of challenges, or a game show even, or even some sort of competitive dancing, or where you dress up as a costumed performer, whether it be a dancer or a singer, or break dancing, or, you know, what about, is there any skipping competitions? What if it was just skipping for whatever it is? Competition or just a joyous experience, I would be proud to be with all of you, to go there at your side as your leader and as your equal. You know, we might not end up, if it was for competition, we might end up losing. We may even buy the big farm. Well, maybe one of those competitions where that's how it ends up. But if we did, you know, I'd be happy. I'd be happy about it to be with all of you. But what, as the narrator, I have to ask, in a non-rhetorical way, but an inquisitive way, what has brought us to this remarkable moment? Well, it all started with a song. Before it was a song, it may have been just a spoken word. A song sung on that very stage, just a little song. Sung by someone of so little importance that even their trying to sing was, well, touching. You see, it made us feel that if someone so small, so insignificant, could raise up his voice and find happiness, so could we. And so we, in our rooms, reach for our radio dials across the globe. We hear kitty cats, we hear rain, we hear the sound of freshly painted nails on a teenager turning a dial. We hear the anxious steps of the parents wondering what their teenage daughter is tuning into on the radio, and then realizing in their own excitement building. Yeah, I'm trying to tune it in, but the antenna's not working. Well, my dear, would you want me to help? Would you like me to help with your antenna? I can get some tinfoil. Dad, get out of my room, please. Okay, I'll just walk away slowly. I don't think tinfoil would help anyway, but if I miss this show, please, if I just can, the reason I polished my nails was just to get this one dial. If I just move it a fraction of an inch, a billionth of an inch. There it is, the fluttering orchestral banjo line. There's some familiar, sweet, sweet sounds. Oh, the music, the static underneath, the chattering. My heart is beating. In the grand ballroom at the top of the Eiffel Tower, the red velvet curtains part, and suddenly the giant on-air sign above the stage lights up. Broadcasting from the top of the Eiffel Tower, the orbiting human circus of the air. Friends in the audience, or friends at home, it's so good to be here with all of you. Now, you all know there's someone very special in the building. Oh, yes, I love hearing your cheering. The crowd is going wild. But get a hold of yourself, please. Stay calm. Thank you. It is appropriate that we, who brought you the tap-dancing mice, the aerialist bovine cannonballs, should at last bring you a certain someone who sang a certain song Oh, your enthusiasm, my ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls and friends beyond the binary, makes us want to start the musical intro. But before we bring him out, hold your applause. Wait. Oh, that's powerful applause. First, with the very own version of the very song that started it all, I give you the Orbiting Human Circus Orchestral featuring Romika, the extraordinary singing saw. Romika here. I'm not allowed to sing tonight, but to calmly voice this in my saw, creaky, dulcet saw voice. But I want you to think of a tranquil sound. I don't know if you've ever heard a saw sing, but I'm confident you'll like it. So when you listen again, when you listen in the day with that same anticipation, when you tune me in, you won't just hear me singing, you'll feel me singing. And I want you to remember that tranquil feeling. It'll probably hit you right in the center of your chest, and it'll feel good. As a singing saw, I'm confident of that. Thank you. And so the saw song rings out, filling the ballroom at the top of the Eiffel Tower and out into the night, reaching radios. And we can see in the barn the animals enjoying the song, looking at one another and feeling it in their chests, and even singing along, baaing and mooing and crowing, meowing. Hoofs strike the floor, not in protest, but in an involuntary exclamation. Radios in the farmhouse. Brothers and sisters looking at one another. Do you like it? I love it. Radios the world over. Across the globe, in cities, in the countryside, gathered around the radio, being touched physically, emotionally, and aurally by the song. But there is one lonely soul who's not listening to the radio. At the back of the stage, behind the singing saw, behind the shimmering backdrop, inside the brick wall is a heating duct. And so comfy and cozy within there, all curled up, all snug like a bug in a bed, is Julian, the janitor here at the Eiffel Tower. Ouchie poo, I bumped to my head. I thought, who hit his head? It's okay. I just more brushed my head. And who's okay, who just brushed his head inside the heating duct, the duct at which he's accustomed to sneaking into the theater and from which he can hear in just a barely glimpse a world so beautiful it could only exist in his dreams. The broadcast ballroom. But why does he seem so incredibly nervous? And we can be there with him inside the duct, so cozy, so comforted, and so calm. And a little bit nervous as we hear the sound of applause. Oh gosh, oh gosh, oh God. Listen to the size of that audience. Good heavens, why, his heart is pounding. A bumpity bump, bump, bumpity bump. Calm down, calm down. We'll just read along. We could do it. And all we live, and all we know, and all we laughed together. And who alone? Oh no, as the narrator, I don't know if he can sing along or read along. The audience may hear him. Sang how we sing, knew how we knew, And all we ask forever is, may we go. So we'll be old and weary friends. God bless and let this never end. But that singing, that reading along, he does sound very right reading along or singing that song. It's almost as if it's his song. And yet there are certain songs we like because we feel as if it's really us singing. And it's true that he's not the only one singing or going along with it. In the wings of the stage of the broadcast ballroom, stagehand Jacques is also going along. Backstage, Jacques is using a technique called talking, humming, or singing. I cannot sing, but I can go. This is a nice song. I hearing singing. I wish I could sing along. Jacques, you sing like a bit like a fish. Ah, merci. And backstage, even chief stagehand Letitia Saltier, running the whole show, goes along. I know we sang together. Oh, Letitia, sing it. Thank you, Lily. And as she walks to our host John Cameron's dressing room door, behind which we find him, fixing an uncharacteristic drink. You haven't put some ice in here? Then I'm going to take the ice back out. Oh, there's a knock at my door. Come in. Ah, Letitia, your kind of singing is beautiful. Letitia, please, please don't sing that song. Oh, I'm sorry, John. Wait, is it time? I can't believe I have to go on stage with him this night of all nights, our first show back. Jean, pull yourself together. We have to go. Let's go. Meanwhile, in the heating duct, cozy and comforting, is Julian, our janitor, still singing and reading along. In all we live, in all we know, in all we laugh together, and who alone sings how we sang, knows how we knew, and all we'll ask forever is, bring us to. Oh, we'll be old and weary friends. God bless, let all this never end. Something's poking at me. Julian, this is the narrator. What seems to be the matter? I don't know. Something's like some sort of forest friend just kissed me. While on stage, the song comes to an end, the song being sung by the singing saw. And John Cameron prepared to make the introduction the whole world waited for. And the show goes on the air. The audience applauds and John Cameron opens up his purely dulcet tones. That was the Orbiting Human Circus Orchestral featuring Romika, the singing saw. As the narrator, I just hope he doesn't start with any jokes related to our, the next, please, John. And now, ladies and gentlemen, I bring you a young performer who is short of everything except inspiration. Oh, no. Here to debut a brand new song is an artist of whom I could say so little, so little. John Cameron, please. As the narrator, I'm cringing. John Cameron, please, no. Please, no. So easily overlooked, a talent so atomic in its scope that he needs no introduction. Ladies and gentlemen, friends beyond the binary, I say to you, here he is. The audience goes wild, but nothing happens. And John Cameron speaks again. Here he is. Play the intro, please. Nothing. Okay. Here he is. The audience says, confused. John Cameron, please take control. Is he here? Where is he? John Cameron's on his hands and knees looking for something. Come on. I don't ask a lot of you. Where are you, you little FLEA? Did you flee? FLEE me, you FLEA? Perhaps one short joke less and none of this would have happened. With the whole world listening, there's nothing but the most dreaded sound of all. Big farm in the sky air. The stagehands run to and fro, looking all over. But our star performer is nowhere to be found because he's hiding in he's snuggling in the heating duct. Now, let's not jump to any hasty conclusions. I know the fact he's hiding in a heating duct seems to narrow it down greatly. Let's think clearly. There doesn't seem to be anybody else in the heating duct. I mean, the janitor does look pretty small, especially curled up that way. And we know his biggest dream is being on stage. Is it possible that he is the small soul that the whole world has waited for? I'll tell you what, let's go back in time and listen to him singing once more, because there lies our answer. Oh, we'll be old and weary friends. Now, you'll remember this. It was just moments ago. He was in the heating duct. He's singing. And we listen for a moment. Yes, it's just as I thought. He's pestered by a clinging distraction as he sings. And nobody is quite as critical of vocal interpretation as the song's own author. Oh, we'll be old and... Oh, why are you poking me? Especially when our small little friend has not been fed proper pre-show buffet, for dinner. You see, the whole world is waiting for a flea, a musical flea, which is hiding in the janitor's sock, unbeknownst to him. I know we'll need a moment to process this. There is an explanation. But let's stay with the janitor right now. Here, exactly as he is. Because this is the feeling the janitor loves so much, all of us gathered together. The joyful presence of a crowd. And isn't it when we're dreaming that we're closest to our dreams? He really is dreaming. Under the starry night sky of Paris, there's not another soul within 1,000 feet. You can picture the Eiffel Tower above the city of Paris at night, the wind blowing. And there, up high, but snug as a bug in a sock, is our janitor. In a very, very, very secure spot up on the top of the Eiffel Tower, sleeping, totally strapped in. With a silver bucket wedged between his feet and a rag in his hand, he, of course, is supposed to be working. But wait, he's waking up. Oh, boy. Come on, Julian. You can do better than this. No good will come of you if you fall asleep when you're supposed to be working. I gotta get up and start mopping. They said they want these girders shining in a matte way. So they look good. But let's get back to everything you've heard up until now. It's important. There's a story to what the janitor's been dreaming. He dreams when he's awake, too. You see, the janitor likes to imagine he's part of the show. It's something he's always done. He can't help doing. In fact, he's doing it right now. It helps him pass the 23 hours and 45 minutes he spends alone each day. Oh, I gotta get, let me dip twice, then ring, then dip again, then ring out the mop, and then scrub the girder. He likes to imagine a narrator. That's me. As I mop, I say to my, oh, please let some good come of me. And he likes to imagine something can hear him when he speaks into the void that way. And that's you. And I'm going to keep scrubbing here and mop. I got to use a rag on this one. Okay. Hi. I've just had this feeling I haven't felt in so long, but something just reminded me. You know when something just reminds you? When I was a kid, my great-grandpa took me to a radio broadcast at this broadcast ballroom. He was performing on it. He was a stage hypnotist. And, you know, I kind of headed out on my own to be with him, away from my parents. And I stayed with him for a little while. But at some point, I realized it couldn't last and I'd have to go back to my regular life, which, you know, made me sad. And of course, my great-grandpa saw this. So on this night, he invited me to come be a part of the show. It was in this big, beautiful theater. There was lights everywhere and all this radio equipment. And normally his act would be all these stunts with hypnosis. People seeing things that weren't there, wonderful things. People would hear things that weren't there, even smell things. He was amazing. But he said tonight was going to be different. And as soon as we got to the ballroom, he took me backstage and he pulled me aside and he said, "Julian, this has got to be a secret between you and me." And he looked around to see if anyone could hear and he took me in the dressing room and he closed the door. And he got down on his knees and he looked at me and he said, "Julian, tonight I'm going to attempt a great stunt and it might be the most important thing I'll ever do, but nobody can know. Except for you." And then he checked the door to see if anyone was listening, and he whispered in my ear, and he told me, "I'm going to hypnotize all of Paris." He was going to hypnotize everybody listening to be happy. That's what he was doing, but he wasn't going to tell them he was doing it. He was going to slip all the suggestions into his normal act secretly so no one would notice. He said, "Everyone listening, later tonight, they'll begin to feel happy." He said, "You know how sometimes you feel a cool breeze and it's like the first breeze that lets you know autumn is coming? Or when you smell something and it reminds you of the first time when you were so happy?" And I said, "Yeah." And he said, "Someday, when that happens, you're going to remember tonight." And then there was a knock at the door, and they came to get him, to take him on stage, but he told them to wait. And he got down on my level, on his knees, and he looked me in the eyes, and he said, "Do you believe me?" And I didn't know what he meant, but they kept knocking. And he said, "I don't have time to explain. What I need you to do when I do this, I need to be able to see you by the side of the stage, and when I look at you, I need to be able to see in your eyes that you really believe I can do it." And then he just looked at me. I'd never seen him care about something that way. And he said, "Do you believe I can do it?" And I said, "Yes." And then he got up and went with them. But then he stopped and he turned around and he said, "I want you to cross your fingers for me." And I did. And I showed him. And then they went off. And I followed them as far as the end of the stage, and he went out, and the audience applauded. And then he stopped in the middle of the stage, and he turned around, and he looked right at me. And the whole theater saw it. And I looked at him, and I loved him with every inch of my soul. And I believed he could do it as hard as I can. And then he started his act. And I got so absorbed, I forgot how sad I'd been. And then I watched, and it was the same act I've seen him do before. And then that's it. The audience applauds. He comes off stage, and he doesn't want to talk to anyone but me. He comes straight to me. And he shook my hand, and he said, "I think we pulled that off." And then he tells me he's going to take me out to see it happen. I got my coat, and I go out the door. So there we are, me and my great-grandpa, walking into Paris. We were going out on the town, and I'd never been out on the town before. And he says that suggestions can start to take effect at any time. And he takes my hand, and he says, "I hope it works." And he actually looks nervous. I wanted it to work. I wanted it to work so bad. I wanted to see it. and I opened my eyes wide and I looked for any sign I could find that it was beginning to happen. And we go into this restaurant because I have to pee. And when I came out of the bathroom, this lady at this table looked at me and smiled. And then I heard people laughing. And I didn't even hear a joke. And it was coming from the kitchen and they were working. And they weren't having fun like us. And I showed my great-grandpa, there were two people hugging goodbye and they kissed. And this old lady was petting a cat. And she didn't even have to smile. And this woman was sweeping the streets all alone and she had no reason to be happy. But you could see she was happy. And I started looking at my great-grandfather and smiling, and he was smiling too, because we were the only ones that knew why. And I looked around with my great-grandpa. We went all over Paris and everywhere. Everyone was laughing and smiling, and we couldn't stop laughing. Everyone I looked at was smiling back at me, and Julian, just the narrator, and Julian, you still haven't figured it out, have you? It worked on who? It worked on me. That's right. And now we return to the girders at the top of the Eiffel Tower, where the janitor, a bucket balanced between his feet and a rag in his hand, has just told you about his great-grandfather. Now, this was different from his more fanciful tales, and you'll understand why later. In fact, the story of the orbiting human circus began the moment the janitor was asked, oh boy, I just squeezed that rag over the edge, and the water's pouring down. It's going to get somebody's head wet, but I can't tell you right now, because the janitor's just dripped some water from his rag. And if it drips, oh no, it's water's dripping, and it looks like it's going to drip on someone's head and make their head wet. Who could this water possibly drip on, Julian? Oh, Coco. You're right, Coco. The night watchman. Your only friend. Coco. Oh, Julian's rushing down to make sure, hopefully with a dry rag. It looks like he forgot that, though, to dry Coco's head. Rushing down staircase after staircase, flying proverbially down the staircases, past the janitor's closet in which he lives. There's something about a janitor descending the stairs of the Eiffel Tower that is absolutely comforting. Flight after flight of dark and empty, lonely stairs. Maybe the stairs smile for their being used. Far below, he hears the drip, drip, drip and the splat, splat, splat of water on hair. Hair on the skull, on the head. Even a little bit of a squeal because the water's a little bit cold. Now, the janitor is a little bit out of breath as he gets towards the bottom, huffing. Coco, Coco, Coco. Looking at Julian as he comes down the stairs is Coco. Oh, Coco, Coco. Just looking, because Coco had not even registered, because it was only hit by one drip of water. But Coco's also surprised at the worried look on Julian's face. He says, no, I didn't squeal because a bunch of water dripped on my head. Now that you mention, I thought there might have been one raindrop, but, it's okay. Calm down, buddy. Take it easy. Relax. What happened? Well, I was in the heating duct behind the stage in the broadcast ballroom, you know, and Mr. Cameron, he was coming on stage to introduce, and we hear Julian recapping his evening, but there's something quite usual about this interchange, the two of them conversing this way, Coco asking a question and then the janitor answering with something he's dreamed up. And while this may sound familiar, Coco, do you remember when the Beatles were on the Ed Sullivan Show? Yes, I do. Now, as Julian talks about the Beatles being on the Ed Sullivan Show, I could tell you that the janitor spends 23 hours and 45 minutes alone each day. This is how he usually spends the other 15, telling the old night watchman a story about a ballroom at the top of the Eiffel Tower. And as the janitor talks, his features soften and his body becomes relaxed, and the expression of concern and tension on the night watchman's face slowly transforms into a look of interest and amusement. And in just a few minutes, neither of them is aware that just a few minutes ago, Coco could have had multiple drips of water on Coco's head, because now he's being removed from the world by something much nicer. And then Mr. Cameron says, "Here he is." And then the crowd goes wild. And now we begin to see our janitor as he really is, and not a moment too soon, because there's a mystery the old night watchman is trying to uncover. And there's a chatter of all the stories told yet tonight, all of those things, I'm speaking over them, but you know they're lying there, drifting in and out of your mind. It's been said by philosophers that our entire universe might exist on the head of a pin, like the flea that is too small to be seen singing in the palm of John Cameron's hand. To enjoy it, you have to believe in it, if only for a moment. When the janitor's telling it, Coco does. It's another example of symbiosis in nature. Much as even fleas need their snacky poos before they perform, and then they give us beautiful songs in return. The janitor provides the old man nightly with the products of his imagination, and the old man provides him with a kind of hope. Wait a second, a flea? Yeah, it was just like it was in my sock, and then I cupped it in my hands and I held it. And then what happened? And then there was silence, because when the janitor runs out of story, he also runs out of words. Oh, okay, Awkward. Awkward, and just now the janitor's face might illustrate the word paralyzed or pained or even pathetic in the encyclopedia. And then you could almost picture the janitor's boss on the phone with his wife last night describing the janitor's social graces. The janitor walks around like somebody who's been hit over the head with an anvil in a cartoon. Like he doesn't know where he is. Like he's surprised every day. Whoa, what am I doing in the Eiffel Tower? Boosh. Give him this simple task. I say, here in your hand is a map. You move it like this, to the left, to the right, but he can't do it. No. I know. But of course, he has a reason to be the way he is. Oh, Elisaveta. I have to be quiet, you know. I know they will fire me. I know that. But you have to believe me. Please, my love, believe me. I know what I'm doing. I can't let him go. I just can't. I cannot let him go. I can't explain to you why. No. I can't. I'm not keeping a secret from you. Oh, no. Oh, Elisaveta. If you only knew the truth about the janitor, you would not believe me. No one would believe me. No, I cannot tell you. You're the only one I can talk to, but I cannot tell you because, besides, I could not explain. Because I know how you are. You talk to everyone. I love you, but you can't help it. Nobody knows, only me. I think maybe Coco suspects something, but you never know the truth, you know. He could never know. No. I'm not going to. Okay. Look, are you alone? Are you very alone? Okay, I'll give you a little itty-bitty hint. Okay, but I have to talk quiet, so you're not going to get anything from this, okay? But the janitor, he never talks. Except to tell the night watchman this long and bizarre story. Okay? No, that's not the big clue. The big clue is he began telling the night watchman the story. When the night watchman asked the question, hello? Oh, oh boy, we got cut off. I'll have to call later. Narrator back, everybody. We'll have a little bit more about that later. But for now, let us look for a moment at Coco, an elderly black expatriate of pre-civil rights America. He's outlived his wife, his friends, his family. He looks at the young man in front of him, who, having run out of story, simply stares at him. He can tell the young man would like him to go, and so he does. I guess it's time for me to go close the ticket booth. Okay, Coco. Good night, Julian. Good night. We hear the footsteps of Coco go off into the distance. But later that night, in the Eiffel Tower, when the janitor settles into his old cot up in the cold janitor's closet in which he lives, I'm going to get my blankets all set and my blankie-poo. He comforts himself by remembering parts of the story he's told Coco in the past. He pictures the stagehands putting on their jackets after a long night's work. Pierre and Carpenter Lily listen, and Jacques, who haven't got a taste of singing, like he's a lion on the prowl, howling in the night. Yes, I'm Jacques, I'm howling in the night. Oh, Jacques, sing it. Jacques, man. Hey, you guys going home to bed? Oh, my poor little puppy. He's probably dancing around doing a little pee-pee dance. Yeah, I got to get home. Yeah, that's why I don't have the dog. I'm going out. I'll see you guys later. What do you mean you're going out? Where are you going? I'm going out with my buddies. Wait a second. You have buddies? What buddies? Yeah, my kung fu buddies. Kung fu buddies? Wait, you do kung fu? My. Jacques, you got to take better care of yourself. Well, I'm going to bed. Pierre, going to bed. Yeah, I'm Lily. I'm going to bed too. Look, I appreciate it from both of you, but if you don't live your life, what are you doing? Oh, Jacques. Anyway, you guys enjoy your rest. I'm getting out of here. Okay, then you go. We'll see you tomorrow. All right, say hi to your puppy, okay? Oh, yeah, sure. And 45 minutes later, here are Jacques' kung fu buddies. Inside a house, Jacques knocks on the door. Hello, Auntie. Hello, he knocks quietly and he opens the door. Auntie, you want some tea? I'm going to make some. Helps me sleep, you know. Okay, Auntie, good night. And we hear him gingerly close the door. And as the night watchman, Coco, prepares for a deep sleep in the heart of Paris alone in a drafty apartment in which he lives, he thinks of a moment from a story the janitor once told him, where the chief stagehand, Letitia, at the end of a long night was closing up the ballroom with the stagehand, Francois. Okay, I got to put the little props in the small props box, and the medium props in this medium propped box. Oh, this is so calming. Organizing props, Francois, is very calming. What'd you think about today's show? We did good. We did real good. We kept our cool. We didn't worry about anything, not this or that. Yeah. You know what? The show could not go on without us. I like that, because I'm not so great in front of people, you know. Uh-huh. But I like to secretly know that without, you know, what you do and what I do, and even Jacques, yeah, even Jacques, none of this would happen. Yeah. Do you know where this goes? Is this a medium prop or a small prop? It's a prop, like it's a propeller that goes, that's above the radiator, the props. Okay, shelf above here, right? I'll take it, Letitia, I'll take it. No, I see the outline of a prop in the dust here. Yep, that's it, that's the prop spot for the props, yep. Okay, so that's everything, right? They'll know in the morning. Yeah, you know it's raining outside. Oh, it's raining. You know, I've got an umbrella. You know, if you want to, you know, I could walk you to the bus. You could walk me to the bus. Yeah, you could. Okay. Yeah, no, sounds good. Yeah, and as the janitor and the night watchman both lay in their beds, their thoughts of the orbiting human circus turn slowly into dreams. And the janitor remembers John Cameron saying, as he has so often, as millions of people prepare for sleep, broadcasting from the top of the Eiffel Tower, the orbiting human circus of the air. There's our goodbye music, and that's about all for this week, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, and friends beyond the binary. This is John Cameron, broadcasting from the top of the Eiffel Tower. The orbiting human circus wishes you a good night. And the goodbye music plays, and it slowly fades out, and you know that tomorrow you have two seasons of podcasts to listen to. You could get to know the Night Watchman a little bit better, the stagehands, Coco. Maybe you'll even discover, you know, what's going on and everything. Maybe you'll listen a little bit closer. Good night. All right, everybody. I want to thank everybody who became a patron recently. I want to thank Leslie, Stephen, and Mike. Thanks, and good night. Ginger, Ash, and Elizabeth. Thank you, thanks, and good night. Hashim, Lisa, and Anastasia. Thank you, thanks, and good night. Alice, Charlie, and Elizabeth. Thank you, thanks, and good night. Kirsten, Sarah, and Kylie. Thank you, thanks, and good night. Ann, Monica, and Kari. Thank you, thanks, and good night. Vivian, Emerson, and Shane. Thanks, and good night. Quiva, Candace, and Abigail. Thank you, thanks, and good night. Ben, Damon, and Ava. Thank you, thanks, and good night. Rebecca, BJ, and Brian. Thank you, thanks, and good night. Sarah, Gavin, and Heather. Thank you, thanks, and good night. Thanks, and good night, everybody. Take care, and good night. Oh, whoops, I forgot all the other stuff I always say. You can always support Sleep With Me. Sleep With Me exists as a free podcast because people support the sponsors or support the show on Patreon. Even if you sign up for a free trial from one of our sponsors, it's a huge, huge help. You could also spread the word about podcasting in general. Believe it or not, that has a huge impact on the podcast indirectly, but it's huge. You could always refer people to Sleep With Me. You could use sleepwithmepodcast.com/refer. And just let people know about the podcast. That's a big help. And I think that's it for now. Thanks. Good night, everybody. And here's one more thing I want you to know about. Do you want me to do anything? I forgot. Did you like A Cross Breeze or not? Okay, no problem. I got it. I'll take care of it. Good night. All right, everybody. This is Scooter. This is Weeks in Review. And this is where I run through my weeks in review stuff, what was on Sleep With Me Plus in the past month, and what you can expect to see on in the public feed too. Now I have if you sign up for Sleep With Me Plus or you're already signed up for Sleep With Me Plus, I highly recommend using a podcast app that allows search within the feeds, but using just one podcast app for Sleep With Me Plus content only, and then keeping your other podcasts, your daytime podcasts, and whatever app you use now. And I would just check out a couple podcast apps you could choose from on Apple are Overcasts, iCatcher, Pocket Casts. And on Android, you could try out Pocket Casts or Podcast Addict. For this example, I have the only thing I have in my app is I think this is the Boyfriends level. I have four podcasts, the ad-free full episodes, the story only episodes. Nothing in Sleep With Me Plus has ads except for the really old episodes in the archives. We got the story only versions of the show, the all intro, all night versions of the show, and then the bonus episodes. So let's start with the bonus episodes, actually. So Saturday, a new Posty episode came out. It was one that Russell loved, and that came out. And that's in the bonus feed. You know, some people like listening to Posty Super Deluxe episodes during the day. Some people sleep to them. And, yeah, so that one is in the bonus feed. And then looks like we got a bonus coming out for Boar Besties and Boar Friends on Thursday of this week, which is April 15th when I'm recording this. And then we have another Posty Super Deluxe came out a couple weeks ago. That was a picnic lunch with Scooter. And that's in the bonus feed. And that makes just so much easier for those of you that don't like automate your playlist or anything, just to kind of build and choose how you want to listen. Let's pop into all intro, all night episodes. I know an all intro episode is coming out this Thursday. Last Thursday was Make Great Pets season one, part two, almost 6 hours. That's about the max length we can get and have a good file size. So that was like 7 episodes of Make Great Pets. April 3rd, all intro episode came out. And then we had March is that bonus episode. So there was another all intro episode. So that's in the all intro all night feed. And again, like so much easier, like these all intros. Is that what everything that's in there? 277 episodes split between all. So if you love all intros, I bet 200 of those are all intros, maybe even more. And then in the store, both in the story only episode feed and then in the all ad free feed, let's run through the new episodes. Bring It On week started last week. So we had 1254 was our first watch along where I watched half of the movie Bring It On. Wednesday was 1253, Ben Broughton, the Crayon Rambler. That was one of those episodes that had an intro that I said I should make an episode based on this intro. Went to make an episode based on the intro, and it went in an even another direction of what if there was an RPG game based on the movie Bring It On, which led me to figure out I never watched Bring It On. Let me learn more. Then I ended up watching Bring It On. Then April 7th was Alba Sabelix, like we're getting ready, big announcement. If I haven't made it anywhere, we're going to do 3 seasons of a crossover with Alba Sabelix. So that's cool. So that's something we're looking forward to doing. And that was episode one of that. Or that was the one we did originally. Then 1252 was the finale of the Great British Bake Off and episode 10. Then Multiplex 5, Tiki Transistor Hut. That was a good one. 1250, one of my favorite episodes probably in the past few years, a Willy Wonka tour that came out of like some news articles about experience. And I said, this has got to be an episode. And that will be a series. I mean, like a recurring thing. Then Great British Bake Off, episode 9, Patissier. And Multiplex episode 4. And then we're back to our last audio news. So it's everything. Again, if you ever need support, support at supercast.com is there to help you. Though if you're listening to this episode, I'm assuming you're not like, you don't need support. But if you do, and the other thing is like, yeah, these this is my main way to communicate. I learned this on Patreon. Most people just don't read their emails from Supercast or from me. And most people aren't on our Discord or follow our social media. And so these messages are how the majority of supporters get their information. I do it in a sleepy voice because there's like, I put it in at the end of the free show too. But this is a kind of key way, but these episodes are easy to skip, especially if you're just using one podcast app, right? And building your playlists from that podcast app. So yeah, thanks everybody for supporting the show. Reach out if you have any feedback at sleepingmepodcast.com. If you need support at supercast.com. And good night.